Blog Talk Radio.
Indeed, it is the Pancakes and Power Slam show hosted by Crave Wrestling. I am Chris Featherstone, along always with Ryan Fuqua.
Good evening out there, all our Pancake and Power Slam fans. And despite what you think, we are not handing out suspensions this week.
Unlike the WWE, which we will get to that real soon, in this week's news. But first, like always, we'll do last week's airs. We first want to start off by apologizing for the major glitch of last week. That definitely, for all of those who watch every week, you know that's not our style. But, you know, stuff happens. And thank you for your support still. And be sure to let everybody know about Pancakes and Power Slams. Thank you so much for everybody. And also, just one more error, that is Cody Rhodes. It was mentioned that he, well, thought that he defended the Intercontinental title in three pay-per-views, and it was actually four. He since he won it, he beat Ezekiel Jackson on a SmackDown, and he defended against Ted DiBiase at Night of Champions, John Morrison at Hell in a Cell, Booker T at TLC, and the Big Show at WrestleMania 28. So a total of four. So it was only one different than Nora, you know, what we said. So got a new chat room up. We got some more public for you. So just go in the chat room and give us your thoughts. And like we do every week, if we find it worthy to be said on air, we will do it. And as always, call in live. If you want your thoughts to be heard, the number is 347-884-8452. And this week's news, The Rock possibly missing WrestleMania 29 due to G.I. Joe 2 getting pushed back because they wanted it to be on 3D. So it was a Twitter interview that he had this week, and asked because of the I believe March the 29th or something like that is when G.I. Joe was supposed to air, and of course WrestleMania is April the 7th, and the answer to are you going to miss WrestleMania, the answer was not paraphrasing was I may, so we'll see how that pans out. And then Sin Cara returns to SmackDown. We'll get to that as far as our reactions on his return. Former WWE creative writer, he explains on Twitter how Triple H buries superstars and comes in at the most opportune time to be the quote-unquote savior. I actually wrote an article about it on Bleacher Report. They got a lot of hits and comments. So be sure to check that out. It's Triple H. it talks about Triple H possibly burying other superstars, and I make a couple of points that feel free to analyze and check it out. And then our Our top story is Randy Orton gets suspended for 60 days for the violation, for the second violation of the wellness policy. Yes, this is the third suspension, but this is the second one on the wellness policy. This is his third. Well, it's very confusing because this is his third wellness policy violation. But when he got suspended for marijuana, he was also a part of the group that was caught for having, you know, performance enhancing drugs. But they just kind of compiled his suspension along with the marijuana use and said, okay, we'll just kind of make this one, which a lot of people didn't think was fair. And then the other suspension was because of just misconduct as an employee. And so this is his second wellness policy suspension, 60 days. And even further news on that is that Friday he had a meeting with Vince McMahon and a couple other execs, and it was said to be very furious in a meeting between the two, and stormed out. And so it's pretty interesting because my take on it isn't probably as nice as others, because, you know, hey, you know, Kennedy. Well, Mr. Kennedy, or Mr. Anderson, Ken Anderson is his name, he got suspended for allegedly taking a bad bump, causing Randy Orton to take a bad bump from a suplex, and he basically boycotted, you know, so to speak, and caused Mr. Kennedy Anderson to be let go. And so, you know, if it's something that small, and then we already talked about Fit Finley for the Miz thing, and we talked about Goldust for missing a for a spot, miscuing a spot that he called. And so we have these things, but Randy Orton is, you know, it's been a while, because I believe it was like 2007 or so is when he had his first line of suspensions. It's been a while, you know, but still, I mean, he's gotten himself in hot water more than once, but for some reason, he's still there, you know, and I don't think that's really fair, honestly. They're thinking about not bringing him right back. I believe July 29th is when he's eligible to come back again. And so he'll be missing the next two pay-per-views leading up to SummerSlam. I think about not bringing him back for a while. And when they do bring him back, they're thinking about leaving him in the mid-card. But to be honest with you, I just don't see that happening. For some reason, I just feel like they'll go ahead and say, okay, well, we really do need Randy Orton in this spot to build up for SummerSlam. So, okay, we'll just let bygones be bygones again and throw him into a feud. He might lose the match at SummerSlam, but still he'll probably get a big top spot for the show. And, of course, when you get the top spot, you get the money that follows it. So, I don't know. I don't think it's that fair, and I'm sure that a lot of people in the back, a lot of superstars in the back, feels the same way about it.
Yeah, I agree with you, but I just think that this is his last chance. I believe if he messes up one more time, I honestly think that they would let him walk. Now, would they fear that, him going to TNA? Definitely they would, because they know that's what would happen. But I honestly think after this, I mean, that's it. He can't so much as, what do you say, like get a jaywalking ticket. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I really think so. Like, they know that he may not bring in the cash with merchandise-wise, but they know he's a ratings appeal. He's keeping SmackDown alive. But, yeah, this is it for him, man. Well, I think one more shot, and I believe they would let him go. Because at some point, you got to just swallow your pride.
You do.
Yeah.
You do.
Enforce the rules.
That's true. it just seems like it's been, you know, it's definitely not that fair, you know, compared to the smaller things that other people could do, you know. And I'm sure that everybody who falls victim of the seasonal budget cuts, you know, they could definitely, you know, to you know, have a big old bullhorn and say something about it. You know, they, you know, we go back to Chris Masters a lot. He was just a victim of a budget cut. I mean, he was honing his craft as a babyface on Superstars and doing the best quality wrestling ever. You know, I saw him a lot. You know, he had a lot of good feuds with Tyler Rex and a lot of good matches with Tyler Rex and people of that nature. But I mean, he was let go just because they didn't have anything to do with him. So, you know, it's a lot of people can say some things bad about it, but you're right. I mean, he's still there, even with that stormy meeting that he had. You're right. This is the last straw. It should be, and I would imagine it is. Randy Orton and TNA it seems awkward. It just seems awkward already. TNA just seems like TNA is just not Randy Orton type of program at all. It would just be really odd to see him. But the good thing about it is, you know, they need some big name talent from the WWE to make them relevant. Because you know we both of us like Bobby Roode, but If you're trying to compare him to WWE as far as top guys concerned, it's just not there. I wouldn't even see him as a top guy if he jumped over right now to the WWE. So, you know, they need that. You know, when Christian Cage went over there, when Rhino went over there, you know, it worked. So, we'll see. We'll see how it works. So. Interesting news this week. Feel free to call in 347-884-8452. We're going to go on to Raw, and feel free to participate in the chat. Like I said, go in the chat room, and if we find it worthy to be said, we will go ahead and say it on the air, live on air. So let's go to Raw. Michael Cole starts off with the interview with John Cena. Then John Laurinaitis comes out and says that Cena can pick his opponent. And Cena wanted to pick Laurinaitis, but he said, I'll tell you what, Laurinaitis is getting funnier and funnier to me. I don't even know if it's deliberate or not, but he said that he can't pick Big Show or him because Big Show's not there and Laurinaitis is retired. So then we saw John Cena choose Michael Cole.
Can I say something real quick?
Laurinaitis
said that he was retired from singles competition, one-on-one singles. So look for a handicap match or something coming up here.
Yeah,
so
that's a good call on that. I noticed that too, but. Yeah, definitely a good call on that. So a handicap or a tag team match, maybe in our near future. So Cena chooses Cole, it was an interesting segment. Cole did what he did. You know, he did a great job playing the antagonist. And I'll tell you what, man, John Cena. 2012 is his year to be a babyface, that's for sure, because, you know, he is definitely getting more pops than he has in a number of years. And it's so funny because people like Michael Cole and John Laurinaitis are the benefactors of Cena becoming a pure babyface again. And after all the feuds that he was in, and you know, he was still getting a ton of heel heat. Two non-wrestlers are the ones that help him get more pops. So, you know, kudos to the mic work and abilities of Michael Cole and John Laurinaitis to help him become a babyface and get the pops that he needs to stay babyface.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, he's definitely super face. I mean, he's always been that way, but yeah, he's like more people, you could tell the crowd's coming around on him, less and less boos each time. And I actually believe when he was talking at the camera, I think he said something about he could see a lot of green shirts or something along those lines. I'm paraphrasing there. So that's pretty cool. But I don't know, man. I just couldn't get into this. I mean, this was boring to me. Like, this is what Cena's so-called, quote-unquote, big return was for, to, you know, beef with Michael Cole. I don't know. I just thought it was pointless. So, yeah, I couldn't get down with this one.
Yeah, it wasn't the best for me either, honestly.
For the feud.
I don't see it as well, especially since we saw Big Show not there this week and John Cena not there last week.
That's
just really, really odd to me. Not even like via satellite or not even like a promo video or, you know what I mean? Like it just, they both just weren't there. And so it's just, that's really odd leading up to No Way Out. I mean, No Way Out isn't a big pay-per-view at all, but still, I mean, it's still a bit odd. So next we saw Sheamus against Dolph Ziggler. I'm just not okay with this. I have no idea, and we saw the same thing on SmackDown. Two good matches. I believe the SmackDown match was a lot better than this one. This one seemed to be, I'm not sure about the time, but it seemed to be a bit more abbreviated than the one on SmackDown. But you're just messing up a feud here. This is a big pay-per-view caliber feud. I mean, the matches, especially the match on SmackDown, that was a WrestleMania caliber match to me. It was very, very well done and put together. And I just don't understand how they would just throw away a potential great feud by just having Dolph Ziggler job twice. No build. Just threw him in the match, and he lost both times clean. So I don't understand the point of it. And, you know, you're having Ziggler wanting to get away from Swagger. And that's the thing. That's something else, too, the whole split. You know, hashtag Super Show. I'll give that some shout-out again. But if that's the reason why I'm actually as supportive of the Super Show, because that really gives someone a chance to break out and be a top guy. Now, since it's a Super Show, I mean, you're probably going to be on Raw again. I mean, it was the perfect time for Dolph Ziggler to get away from Swagger and be the top guy on SmackDown. But now, since it's a Super Show, he can't do that. He lost on SmackDown, so the whole breaking away to become somebody important, you know, it's already starting off bad. And then the whole Super Show concept, he still appears on Raw and loses still. So I'm telling you, this whole Super Show idea is just not a good idea because it makes people do that. It makes people not really have a chance to really break out the way that they can, because they'll be booked for Raw. So it's not any type of distinction there.
Yeah, the Super Show is like, it's mayhem. It's confusing. I mean, this is what, second month in a row that we've got SmackDown guys competing for the WWE title and vice versa, Raw with World Heavyweight or whatever. I don't even know which show Del Rio's on. I'm guessing he's on SmackDown.
SmackDown, I believe.
And that's crazy. So no Raw superstar gets an actual WWE title shot, if you think about it.
Wow.
Yeah. So, but yeah, as for Dolph, man, it doesn't make any sense. Like you said, two in a row, right after saying he wanted to go solo. Then they, you know, so that's crazy. Just setting him up for failure. And I feel the same way with Otunga, too. But that's a whole other story. I don't know what they're doing with this, because I looked at the backstage Fallout segment on WWE.com, and they had Dolph on there, and he was getting all upset, saying stuff about losing. And every time I look up, a brogue kick, and that's all I can remember. And he was cutting his promo, being real angry. So I don't know. Maybe there's something to it with the losing, and they're going to have him go, not even go face, or just break away from Vicky. I don't know. I still kind of like him with Vicky. So I'm anxious to see, man. He's just, they got to have him pin somebody eventually. Jeez.
Definitely. I just thought about a stat. Talk about your Chris Jericho's. When's the last time Dolph Ziggler had a clean pay-per-view win? I can't. That'd definitely be something to look into and say on next week's show. If anybody in the chat room can think of it, and comment on the chat room, we'll definitely say that one live on air. But the last time Dolph Ziggler had a clean pay-per-view solo win, I can't think of it, and I'm definitely going to do some research on that. So, and then we saw Laurinaitis and Otunga backstage segment. Otunga announces Vince McMahon's return to evaluate Laurinaitis' job performance. Okay, now this is another thing that I disagree with here. We've made mention on the show before, like, you know, when time lapses, somehow the WWE thinks that people forget about certain you know, important spots that are relative game changers. And if I am not mistaken, there was an ending segment on Raw that had Triple H in the ring with Vince McMahon, and saying that, you know, basically he's chairman of the board, but the board came to a conclusion that he basically was forced to resign from his position.
Yeah.
Now, what happened to that? Now they're promoting the boss is returning to evaluate Laurinaitis' job performance, but in storyline land, that would be Triple H's job, because Triple H took over Vince's position in the storyline, and so I think that was extremely poorly advertised, and it made absolutely no sense to me, and that actually I already had the Flavor of the Week topic before tonight, but that actually sparked it up even more. And just to let y'all know, the Flavor of the Week topic is the 10 biggest WWE mistakes since 2011. And this definitely, to me, wasn't in the top 10, but this already gets, you know, a top spot to me, because it didn't make any sense. And now Vince's all of a sudden the boss again. I guess we're supposed to believe that it was behind closed doors that he took Triple H's spot again, but I'm sure when Triple H comes back, he'll still be called the COO, and it's just a lot of it's just as confusing as the split to me. So I really don't understand how this is going to formulate.
Yeah, me either. That's I actually forgot all about the old Vince actually stepping down in the board thing. So that's funny, because WWE took that approach, and you're right. Yeah, we forget sometimes. But I guess that you covered that part. For me, it's just glad to see a McMahon appearance. I guess there's only, like, what, two a year now? So
yeah.
I'll take it. I'll take it how I can get it. There's got to be some funny soundbite or something funny from it. But yeah, I do agree with you. It's like, what? I thought he had to step down. So I don't know, but we'll see what happens. And It's funny because they had Laurinaitis, man. He still had like a little smirk on his face, like he wasn't intimidated that Vince was coming back. So, see how that goes.
Yeah, you're right, man. You're right. We'll see. And of course, like you said, I agree. You know, it's always good to see a Vince McMahon appearance. I'll definitely agree with that. But just how it's, you know, how it's written and how it's, you know, being displayed, and I'm just confused already, even before he shows up. Then we saw Sin Cara defeat Hunico. New colors from for Sin Cara, no more azul as he was Spanish for blue, as he was when he was feuding with Sin Cara Negro, which was his was actually his opponent Hunico, and now he's got more of a reddish, burgundy, maroon type of color now. And more actually, more towards his Mexico days, sporting those colors. But I'll tell you what, I'm actually higher on Sin Cara now than I was before. Before it was a lot of botch spots and just this is going down, you know, the tubes. But I'll tell you what, the push, it was just a few promos that he's going to return, but. Back, you know, when he first came, it was, you know, it was pushing him to the moon even before he wrestled. So the expectations were a lot higher. But I tell you what, he's, you know, we mentioned Christian being in a good spot right now of handling the mid-card, you know, division and things like that. So that the expectation isn't as high as it would be, you know, if he was champ. And I would actually put Sin Cara in that, and on that very short list too, because the expectations aren't as high as they were before when he first came. So I'm actually pretty big on where they have him. I'm still not pretty big on Sin Cara as a character, but I'll tell you what, I like him a lot now more than I do before, and he's the two matches that we saw, he did pretty good, and it looks like he's going to stay with that tilt-a-whirl face plant that was actually first used on Chavo Guerrero, and it was a botched spot, and it worked as a finisher after that, because it is a nice looking finisher, and so you know, kudos to Sin Cara. It looks like he did a lot of training and really. Really learn from the mistakes of his past.
Yeah. Also has a simpler entrance now. No more springboard over the roof.
Yep.
So looks like he's being a little bit more careful. I'm definitely higher on him than I was before. I wasn't down on him at all before, but seems like now I'm just happy to see somebody exciting and electrifying with this pop comeback, so it's pretty cool. I won't speak too soon, but maybe a year from now, just maybe, I don't want to speak too soon, but maybe we could see Sin Cara as world heavyweight champion. Just, I don't know. I know it's only been two matches back, but if Rey Mysterio could do it, man, come on. I mean, I like Sin Cara more than I like Rey Mysterio ever, so, but I was never a Rey Mysterio fan, so. But who knows? I like the gimmick. I like the no talking. I like just coming out in the mask. I love it. I'm fine with it, so it's all good for me. I wouldn't be opposed if he rode to WrestleMania. How about that? So, just working his way up. Bold statement, but yeah,
very bold statement. I don't know. It's bold, but it's interesting to
right
to consider.
Now he has the chance. It's the best chance for him to make a name and for anybody to step up with the suspensions and everything. So
yeah, I'll give that to you. I'll give that to you. I can see a rise of Sin Cara being in the making. World heavyweight champion, though. He's
WWE.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I understood the distinction, but I'm still, you know, still very skeptical about it. Because, okay, yeah, Rey Mysterio did it.
At least a year. And I know Mysterio had history before that.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
And especially when he first won it, it was more of an Eddie Guerrero thing. So Sin Cara's World Heavyweight Champion is...
Got to work your way up, though.
Yeah, I would, if anything, I would say there's too many people in the mix now. Yeah, that'd be interesting.
That's how I always feel, like, who are they, you know? So, you never know.
So, if anything, so let's just, real quick, let's just analyze this. You got a year, which will be next summer. You can be rest assured that probably if a heel has it, it'll probably be Wade Barrett.
Mm-hmm.
And so Carl and Barrett, it may be able to work. If you're in the chat room and you want to make a prediction about that, do you think Sin Cara could be World Heavyweight Champion worthy in the next year? So that means
by
next
summer. 2013.
Okay, yes. SummerSlam 2013. That's a good projection date. So, yeah, if you feel that he could be at least vying for the title, let us know. So, so Ryback is next. Ooh. He defeats Stan Stansky and Arthur Rosenberg. Couldn't they have came up with better names than that? Stan Stansky. Both of them are actually local indie talent, and one of them actually have wrestled in ROH and TNA. I don't see. And then here's the thing. Like I mentioned, I wrote an article about the 10 biggest WWE mistakes since 2011, this match actually is one part of a whole of one of the top 10. Just for some reason, and it's actually been reported that Vince McMahon is so high on Ryback now that he wants to push him to the moon, similar to Goldberg. This is not the right way to do it. If anything, get him in a really good feud. I'll tell you what, I was watching the show yesterday, and I said, Ryback versus Brock Lesnar, because they're both real hard nosed and have that, you know, MMA look to him, at least. Ryback, you know, he's never, you know, been known to be an MMA fighter, but I'll tell you what, like, he has that intimidating, you know, look and factor to him. I actually wouldn't be opposed to Ryback and Lesnar go at it before the year is over, and then add on, you know, Big Show. He'll be falling into obscurity in the next months or so. Although it is reported that he's going to he'll be fighting CM Punk at SummerSlam, which I don't understand at all. I guess we were talking about CM Punk still feuding with Laurinaitis and keeping that feud alive. So I guess that they're going to set that up. I really hope that changes, but Show and Ryback, I actually wouldn't be opposed to that, because similar to how it was with Brock Lesnar doing the F5, you know, the first match they had, you know, could Lesnar do the F5, and he did it, so that was like, they added a more, you know, mystique and an element to the match, and his little fireman's carry buster that he does, or you know, cradle suplex buster, whatever he does, that definitely, you know, people wonder, could he lift up the Big Show in that, you know, capacity? So it would bring some uniqueness to both, Ryback, and uniqueness to the feud between the two of them. I actually wouldn't be too opposed of it, but just having, you know, just beating up you know, local talent and just independent wrestlers and jobbers, and now you're throwing two at a time, and what's next, three? Can he lift up three? It's just a really bad direction to make him relevant, because I intentionally looked at the crowd this week and nobody cared. And he was, you know, he was doing all of his Feed Me More, Finish Him, Mortal Kombat, you know, all that. And people were just, I mean, he got some claps, but, you know, the crowd as a whole was just really kind of conversing with each other and probably wondering, like, who is this guy? Because I just really didn't see any type of progression to his character by just beating two people that are just jobbers.
Yeah, it's enough with the two scrawny jobbers and the finisher. At first it was an amazing feat. Now it's just like, is this your finisher? Do you always have to face two people? Like, I don't understand it. It's just, now it's almost lame, you know, it's just boring. But I will say that I did agree with you, because I thought about the same exact thing about him possibly feuding with Lesnar or Big Show. And that's the only two I can really think of right now. They said something. Well, first, man, that toss at the beginning of the match, wow, that dude got up. That was pretty high. But I don't know. Maybe I was out of it and kind of hearing things. Did they say this was his first Raw match?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought. That's pretty crazy. I never even thought about it. He's only been to SmackDown and, what, I know at least one pay-per-view. I don't know if it's been two, so.
I think it was just one. Either
OTL, they just kept throwing those matches in there.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, he has pyro now, but they don't show it. Have you noticed that? Like, I've seen him on SmackDown and Raw. I'm like, why
twice,
would they not show his pyro?
He does it twice. I think it's just some type of soundbite that he does, because I know that he does the whole, you know, machine type of arm move, and then he puts his head down, and then he, you know, he rises his head up, and then he kind of hits his hand and then turns around and just kind of thrusts his arm, and they do the pyro sound again when he's in the ring. So it just seems like it's just some type of sound bite, which I don't understand why they would do that. It's just confusing all over to me.
Yeah.
They just really need to do some tweaking with his character. It could work, but right now it's got a lot of work to do.
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Then we saw Kane versus CM Punk. He actually beat CM Punk with involvement with Daniel Bryan and AJ. And post-match, Kane stalks AJ, and then Daniel Bryan tries to take out Kane but fails. And then AJ gives Kane some type of weird and odd smile and calls Kane to leave. I'll tell you what. And then after that, we saw Josh Matthews interviewing AJ, and she was saying that, you know, do you like aggressive chicks and things like that. And I'll tell you what though, I wasn't sold on AJ's character, but I am now. She is like, you know, for all the diva spots and that could happen, they're really investing a lot in her, because other than her, no diva spot again this week. Just seems like the divas division is just kind of falling by the wayside. That was very interesting to me. But they're investing a lot in AJ, and really, she's really honing her craft as that type of odd and nutty character. And I'll give it to her; she's doing a really good job at it. And her element in the match isn't as bad as I thought it could be. So definitely kudos to her for really getting better in her character and being an interesting element to this triple threat feud.
Yeah, it's funny you said no diva spot, because I just thought of it, like, wow, that's this is the third show in a row that there hasn't been a diva spot. So we'll see on SmackDown if that'll make a full 2 weeks. So that's crazy. But yeah, as for AJ, I definitely agree with you. The character, she's came around, and unlike Eve, she can act. So that's cool. But
right.
I still am not all the way on board for her spot in this feud. Like, I get it, but I'm not all the way on board. It's not an awful thing, but I could definitely do without. But this match, again, with these two, a little bit of deja vu. But all these matches between the three of these guys have been pretty entertaining. This feud, period, I've actually been into this, so it's pretty cool. I just need something different to happen, like Kane winning. I know that's crazy, but I just want something different out of this pay-per-view. No disrespect to Punk, I still love him, but I don't know if it's, maybe it's the WWE kind of pushing him back and he hasn't been in the main event as the champ. Maybe that's what it is, but they're kind of making him a stale champion. And then did you notice the botched elbow drop?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. When Punk was given the elbow, and I don't know if Kane thought to kind of move out of the way what was going on there. I was like, what is that? So that was pretty weird.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, Kane and Punk, you know, they put together some good matches. They actually had I believe it was May of 2011. Last May, where they had just some type of random spot. They had a random match. I think that Punk was still doing the straight edge, the New Nexus, I think it was at the time. And he actually beat Punk, and it was just a really weird spot, and Kane wasn't really, like, going up, you know, as far as, you know, rising as a superstar, but he beat Punk. I don't remember. I think it was May of 2011. It was just one of those odd pay-per-views. But, if it was 2011, it wasn't Judgment Day. It was, Extreme Rules or Over the Limit. Just a random pay-per-view. They had a good match at that point in time, too. I think that this triple threat actually is going to be a pretty good match. I'm actually looking forward to it on No Way Out. It brings an extra element that's actually good for the Daniel Bryan and CM Punk feud. Now, like we've said, Kane may be used as a spot filler, but hey, you know, maybe there's some surprise here. Maybe Kane actually has a legit WWE title run. As opposed to the less than 24-hour one that he had when he beat Austin in the first blood match. So I believe that was 98, if I'm not mistaken. Then we saw Kofi and R-Truth defeat Hawkins and Rex. Now, how about that? They get a Raw spot. So kudos to Hawkins and Rex for getting that Raw spot. The only thing I want to say from this match, it was a good match. I'm glad how they're trying to revive the tag team division. I'm actually very, very happy about that, and I've made mention of that in my articles on Bleacher Report. And just the only thing I want to mention about this is Kofi and R-Truth definitely need some tag team music. I just don't understand how they both come out to Kofi's music. That's just really, really weird to me. Other than that, like I said, I mean, I like the team. They're definitely gelling and it's working.
Yeah, definitely could do some type of music. Maybe use Truth's music and somehow mash up the whole SOS thing in there, kind of like how they did Show Miz. I could see that somehow working. I hate seeing my boys, Hawks and Rex. Man, I hate seeing them lose. You know, that's my crew right there. So, I don't know why both my favorite tag can never get W's or TV times, and that's Hawks and Rex and the Usos. Never get to see my guys. But this is another one. I watched the backstage fallout, the segment on WWE.com of Kofi and Truth. And from their little segment, the promo they cut, I think they should get a little more mic time, like promos backstage, because I could see their chemistry more when they're talking. Mm-hmm. Like Kofi was talking to Truth, and Truth was talking about a little Jimmy, and Kofi was kind of getting frustrated, like, what? So it was kind of goofy. Go check it out. So, yeah, I think just a little more mic time might help them out, too, with chemistry. And then, like you said, some type of mashup, give them a theme song, and I can be all the way on board. Get little Jimmy on the mic. That's about it.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Don't make it Hornswoggle, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Speaking of Hornswoggle, where in the world has he been? He
was
supposed to be with Brodus Clay, and then he just fell off the face of the wrestling earth, it seems like.
I read something where they did after the camera stopped, saying they did something for his birthday, like, last week. So,
oh, wow.
He's still on roster and traveling with them. Not on TV.
Yeah, I know in the live events he does the t-shirt cannon and shoots it out to the crowd. So I'm guessing he's still doing stuff with that as far as merchandise. So he's needed. He seems like he's definitely going to have a spot for quite some time. So then we go to John Laurinaitis. He comes out and says the Cena and Cole match will happen if Cena beats Tensai, and that's exactly what Cena does. He beats Tensai, then he goes against Michael Cole, and just the weirdest Raw. For a main event on Raw, it was just definitely one of the weirdest Raw main events that I can think of in quite some time. We saw Cole forcing to apologize to Lawler and JR. Kind of psyched us out because I know me personally was thinking that JR was going to come out. And then we heard, JR, wherever you are, or something like that, you're at home, or something like that, and we're like, oh, okay, well, whatever. And then we saw, he dumping JR's barbecue sauce, and then he douses him with the fire extinguisher. Tensai comes out and double chokes Sam Cena, but it doesn't work, and then Cole tries to charge him and hit him with a fire extinguisher, but it doesn't work either. And Cena, I guess, defied all odds and got him in the AA. And just a really weird main event to me. Really pointless, honestly. Just, I don't know if that's a roster depth problem. But we saw no Miz. So why couldn't Miz be used in that spot there? It was just really weird to me. And another thing that I noticed is that Lawler said something like it's not – he realized that he had the barbecue sauce in his hand, and he was saying something like, oh, it's actually the hot sauce that he's dumping on him. And it was just really weird to me. Just kind of pointless and just the booking, just please. I would imagine that you have fans and you have viewers that definitely would not be satisfied with that type of main event or just product or just it being written that way. Period. And so I don't see how the writers would think that would be a good thing or an appealing main event to the crowd, and you're writing for the crowd in the first place. So I really didn't get it overall.
Yeah, this absolutely nothing to do with the feud at all. Like, just didn't help. There was no point for it. I mean, it didn't establish John Cena's dominance. Like, that was his send-off at least Big Show, what, tore up the announce set, beat up a couple superstars. That was his send-off for the Raw. Cena's send-off for the Raw was him, a face beating up a commentator. I just want you to think about that for a second. A face beating up a commentator. That's what it was. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I got nothing out of it. And then for Tensai, I just want to admit defeat. I don't even have to wait. We said we were going to wait till No Way Out.
No Way Out. I was wrong. Yeah.
It's over. It's been over. When they tried to say that he suffered his first loss on Raw, I said to myself, no, he lost weeks ago when his character just did not go over well. So I made a mistake. Admitting defeat before it even comes.
The plug is pulled. The plug is pulled on Tensai.
Yeah.
Prematurely, but better now than to wait till No Way Out and further get buried. And he probably won't even be on No Way Out. So, I mean, most likely he won't be. He's been a superstars all-star recently, beating the likes of Alex Riley and company. So, yeah, he's just Tensai now, and he just shoves around Sakamoto, and he just needs to go away. He has to go away if they want to revamp his character and just do something like I tried, you know, to do this, but you know, something. Just this Tensai character. If they want to keep him, he has to do some of the theatrics, not as much as he used to, but just being Tensai, he has to have some type of theatrics involved, and you know, he just really set himself up for failure to me when I saw this, and it's not going to work for him. I don't see him in a top spot at all. And like I said, we'll get further into that because when I get to the flavor of the week topic. So, we'll go to SmackDown here. We saw a Sheamus promo interrupted by David Otunga and orders an apology. And then it was interrupted by Alberto Del Rio. And Sheamus bro kicks Otunga, said that he's not sorry for what he did to Laurinaitis, but he is sorry for bro kicking Otunga that way. Sin Cara defeated Heath Slater in his return back since Survivor Series, I believe it was. He messed up that spot there. I think he tried to go on Evan Bourne or something like that, if I'm not mistaken. Damian Sandow defeats Ezekiel Jackson. Alberto Del Rio appoints Dolph Ziggler as Sheamus' opponent. And Ryback defeated Ryan Shelton and Chris Lyons. Sheamus defeats Dolph Ziggler. Santino and Zack Ryder defeated the primetime players, as we know them now, Darren Young and Titus O'Neil. Saw a post-match attack by Big Show on Santino and Zack Ryder to help him gain heel heat. Saw a Daniel Bryan and AJ backstage segment. Random Antonio Cesaro promo, like he hasn't been there yet.
Yeah.
And then we saw Cody Rhodes and defeated Tyson Kidd. CM Punk versus Kane led to a double disqualification when Daniel Bryan interfered. Laurinaitis comes out and then he announced the triple threat match at No Way Out. I didn't get too much from this SmackDown, actually. For some odd reason, it seems like they're pulling the plug on Darren Young and Titus O'Neil. They came out and was, you know, talking about millions of dollars and doing some good promo after the matches and beating people, and they're on a little bit of a losing streak, so kind of weird to me. Mentioned Sin Cara, he had a good show against Heath Slater as well. And then lastly, I'll tell you what, I think we talked about, I just said something about Cesaro. It was a good promo, but I just don't understand why that would do it. And then lastly, well, one more thing before I go into the bigger thing. It seems like one of the guys that was going against Ryback, it seemed like he peed on himself. because it was just really weird to me. And then Ezekiel Jackson, wow, he is just, this guy is just a spot filler and a half. I mean, just for someone to be so intimidating in ECW and under the core, and just, I don't know, it just seems like, and it's sad because it seems like he became so soft when he turned face and left the core. He became so soft. He wanted, you know, an Intercontinental title, but at the same time, just, I mean, just consecutive losses against Cody Rhodes, and just he loses all the time now, and Sandow just kind of wiped him up, you know, in a matter of a few moves, and I just really am feeling sad for Ezekiel Jackson. It's, you know, it looks like he's stepping closer and closer to that featured endeavor line.
Yeah, Ezekiel Jackson, man, that's maybe the truest definition of a jabroni right now. So
that's
pretty sad. And then speaking of the Ryback thing where you said the guy looked like he wet himself, that's funny because the person I was watching it with said that the guy looked scared, as if he was about to get hurt for real or something. So he may have had a little accident there.
Little accident,
Love Sandow, continues to impress me. So that's pretty cool. Sheamus, though, wow. It's amazing. Like, this dude can really hold my attention on the mic. Like, I'm not saying he's the best promo cutter, but he keeps my attention. I like what he talks about. It's entertaining. The brogue kick out of nowhere was pretty cool, but I can say right now that Sheamus is probably currently my favorite superstar on WWE roster. So I know. And then when you kind of go to top to bottom, it's for me right now. I mean, it's kind of like, I mean, to plug our own spot, it's like who's going to be the flavor of the week this week. So that's kind of how it is. But yeah, I mean, that's really all I got from the SmackDown. Not much. Just another good Kane and Punk match. So that was cool, too.
Yeah, definitely. Feel free to call in 347-884-8452. We've got the chat line up and running right now. Got some comments going on in there. We were going to Impact Wrestling. Sting defeated Bobby Roode. Then Hogan announces Sting versus Roode at Slammiversary. Bully Ray calls out Joseph Park. Schedule a match at Slammiversary. Austin Aries defeated Chris Sabin. Hogan appoints Taz as new judge for Gut Check Challenge. He replaces Flair. Dixie Carter in-ring segment introduces Brooke Hogan. Then we saw Devon versus Jeff Hardy, interrupted by Robbie E and Robbie T. This is another match by Devon that was interrupted. Then we saw James Storm, a video package. Joey Ryan does not get the contract. And AJ Styles defeat Christopher Daniels. Then we saw a phone call between Styles and Carter's played, and Dixie comes out and orders it to be cut off, and then the show goes off. And so, so just a weird. this is the first one that was live for the rest of the summer. All of the episodes will be live. It moved up to 8 o'clock instead of 9 to 11 Eastern time, and that affected the ratings a lot too. It's very interesting. It was just a bit awkward to me. Good match with Sting and Roode, though. I definitely give them that. Sting still has it. I mean, to be 53 years old, I gotta give it to him. Especially he did that that dive to the outside, you know, kudos to Sting for sure. Aries and Chris Sabin delivered like I thought it was going to be. Definitely give it up to them. Taz is a good choice for the Gut Check Challenge. I'm glad that Joey Ryan didn't get the contract because his promo was just terrible and he felt like he deserved it, which was terrible. It was a good segment between the two because it really looked like a shoot, especially when Taz was talking to Joey Ryan. And then the whole phone call at the end, it's just a weird... This is a weird angle what they're doing with Dixie Carter and AJ Styles. It's just really odd to me and pointless. So an awkward impact to me. Definitely the highlight was, you know, Sting in a rude match and then Austin Aries and Saban to me. And then chew out to Joey Ryan. I definitely got I was really happy to see that. It really looked like it was legit.
Oh yeah, definitely. But yeah, Rudenstein, that was good. Good opener. Just mad he had the tap there, but it was still a pretty good match. Nice and lengthy. Bully Ray, man, great on the mic. That old, I think, was he Brooklyn or something? That accent is always funny. So,
yeah.
Great on the mic, great for TNA. Thought we'd see Abyss here in this spot, but I guess...
Hell's Kitchen, New York.
Pay-per-view.
I'm sorry. Yeah, Hell's Kitchen, New York is where he's built from.
Yeah. Austin Aries, wow. That's all day, all night. Yeah. Nothing I can say bad about him. I love the Gut Check. The backstage segment, I really did like it. Seemed kind of like raw footage, so that was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Brooke Hogan, she's not a celebrity to me. She's not a celebrity. She's not even wrestling celebrity to me. I don't, just because your dad is Hulk Hogan doesn't mean that you're cool. Like, I don't know.
She's got a lot of booze, too.
Yeah. I'll move along. Christian, number 5 on the top TNA moments that actually gave me some goosebumps seeing his debut and everything like that, mm-hmm. hearing that theme. I love that theme, man. Always loved that theme.
Same here.
Robbie T, once again, this guy, Waka Waka, here's my joke of the week. Robbie T couldn't sell Girl Scout cookies to the Cookie Monster. He is that bad to me.
He's he is bad.
Yeah, I actually like Joey Ryan, and then I didn't agree with Taz and Pritchard's assessment of him. So I don't know. I like Joey Ryan, but then again, I'm more the cocky heel guy, so that's probably why. Christopher Daniels, man, that guy's good at his job because I really genuinely just dislike him. So he is really good at his job, and the ending of the episode speaks for itself. I don't get it. I don't know. So
awful.
That's a weird storyline to me.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on the Christian thing. That was definitely really good to see what they did with the entrance and things like that. What they showed and. I'm familiar with Joey Ryan. I actually follow him through the independents. He actually was a part of, I don't know if anybody knows who was listening, but a very short run they had on MTV, a promotion called Wrestling Society X.
Oh yeah.
Back in the day. Joey Ryan was actually on there. He was one of the star, one of the wrestling, he was on the roster on WSX and a couple other things, NWA Hollywood. He was in a couple other independents. He actually was in ROH for a while too. I'm very aware of Joey Ryan. I actually agree a lot with all of his assessment. He, you know, TNA, I tell you what, I mean, you know, TNA, of course, that's the, it's the B show, but, you know, if I was an aspiring wrestler, I would be more than happy to take a spot at TNA, you know, just because I know that I'm, you know, climbing up that ladder, you know, because there's hundreds and thousands of wrestlers that are trying to get a spot. You know what I mean? So TNA definitely, the gut check challenge allows that, and Joey Ryan didn't seem like he appreciated it. So, we'll see what happens next week. And we'll see how this pans out on another live episode. So, yeah. So we will go to Ring of Honor. Adam Cole defeated Mike Mondo. Tommaso Ciampa defeated Nick Westgate. All Night Express defeated Coleman and Alexander. And Kevin Steen interview was interrupted by Cornette and David Richards. And David Richards is gets his rematch at the June Best in the World event. So, once again, good ROH show. Definitely got to give it up to him. Interesting little tidbit that I saw was Tommaso Ciampa won by knockout strikes, but Westgate's feet was under ropes, so that kind of threw me off a little bit. But yeah, good little setup for David Richards and Kevin Steen's rematch, so kudos to ROH for that.
Yeah, I... spots for ROH, world's greatest tag team or wrestling's greatest tag team, Kevin Steen and Jay Lethal, they all, none of them had matches, just cut the promos, so, and all three of them, they're good talkers, so that was pretty cool. But only other thing is Cornette, man, he's pretty entertaining in ROH, and I like him and Kevin Steen's back and forth a whole lot.
Yeah, so we'll see how that pans out. So, yeah, feel free to call in 347-884-8452. We will hear some echoes here, so let's do a little pause for station and radio station and show identification here.
So now it's time to turn it up. Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape. Definitely bringing you the power slam of pancakes. It's a mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in. And recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really could have devoured him. And from that point, then we hear a name change. Rearrange the game, so now we got to change. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam show. Let's go! Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam. Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam. Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam show. Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam. Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam. Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam show.
Thank you so much for bearing with us for our identification for Pancakes and Power Slams. Let's go on to the Flavor of the Week. Feel free to call in 347-884-8452. We will go on to the 10 biggest WWE mistakes since 2011. Number 10 goes to the Christian heel turn. Number 9 goes to Sheamus beats Daniel Bryan in 18 seconds. Number 8 goes to the squash matches. Number 7 goes to Alberto Del Rio wins 40-man Royal Rumble. Number six goes to Cena Ambulance Match at Extreme Rules. Number five goes to the Raw WWE Title Tournament. Number four goes to the Miz and Riley's split. Number three goes to Brock Lesnar booking. Number two goes to the Lord Tensai debut. And number one goes to Chris Jericho losing the Royal Rumble. So we will definitely go in depth on that. But we're actually going to take a couple calls here. Just say your name, where you're from, and what are your thoughts? Let's see here. We have a 540 area code. You on?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
My name is Eddie. I'm calling from Roanoke, Virginia. Before I kind of give my thoughts on the biggest mistakes that WWE made since 2011, I just want to tell the listeners out there a little bit about myself. I am a professional wrestler in the indie circuit. I'm currently being trained by WWE Hall of Famer Jimmy the Boogie Woogie Man Valiant.
All right.
I think actually, is this pretty much any thoughts, anything I've seen wrong since 2011? Is that what
yeah.
you're asking? Okay, let's talk about the inductees into the WWE Hall of Fame. Okay, all of them that recently in the past year or so that's been inducted, I've agreed with all of them. They've all been well deserving, except for one in the celebrities slot, which is Mike Tyson. I just totally think that was just distasteful. I mean, because the man has got a bad rep. I mean, granted, he was a good boxer. Granted, he did build up Steve Austin's gimmick, build up his character a little more. But personally, just based upon his background, I think that they could have given it to somebody more deserving.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for your call, and congratulations, man. I definitely wish you the best in your climb to during your wrestling career, man.
Right. And where are you calling out of?
Well, we're from Ohio.
Oh, okay. Well, like I said, I'm in Virginia, and for your listeners out there, anybody that's coming through the Roanoke, Virginia area, BWC Boogie's Wrestling Camp is located in Shawsville, Virginia. Open every Sunday from noon to 4. It's free admission. You can come in, watch us train. You can meet a WWE Hall of Famer and go through his Hall of Fame Museum. It's absolutely free. And just come on in and check us out. We'd love to have you.
All right. Thanks so much for your call, man.
All right.
All right, that's great. Definitely good to hear that type of support. Definitely, yeah, he's in Virginia, and feel free to support. And Jimmy Boogie Woogie Man Valiant, definitely a very, very popular name in the NWA days, and definitely had a great career throughout. So kudos to him.
Yeah, very much so. And just to go off what he said about Mike Tyson, I can agree with that, what he said, just from his past background. You know, I mean, certain people don't like certain things. Doesn't have a squeaky clean background, we know this. But overall, I still haven't accepted the fact that they induct celebrities and not, and I'm sorry, I'm going to drop a W-bomb for WWE and not just wrestlers, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to say superstars, because wrestlers. Wrestlers are in the WWE Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely think a celebrity wing is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Especially Drew Carey here. That's, that was terrible. So. Yeah. So what are your thoughts on the 10 biggest mistakes?
The squash matches. I definitely agree with that. I mean, it's getting tired of the same old stuff. Like I said, look at Ryback. Look at Funkasaurus. I mean, it's just the same thing. Feed me more in dance moves and squash. So, no. Of course, you know, I agree with Del Rio in the Rumble. because I think too much was given to him too soon. It wasn't destiny. It was just thrusted upon him.
Yeah.
And then it was like he was just winning all this stuff just to – he wasn't getting over that hump. Like, I thought that they were going to have him win the Money in the Bank and be the first guy to lose. Like, it was that bad at one point. So, Miz and Riley split, definitely, because it didn't help either one of them. Tensai, we talked about that. I ate my loss with that one. So, yeah. And, of course, Lesnar's schedule is a joke. Because I've forgotten about him, and then I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember Lesnar. What are they going to do when he comes back? And, what, you know, that's absolute joke.
Yeah.
I don't know. The only other one I have, I don't know if it made the list or not, but Rock and Cena. Oh, them not having Rock put Cena over, that to me was very high on my list.
Yeah.
Cena needed that big time.
Yeah, definitely. We definitely talked about that, you know. Hogan passed the baton over to Rock, and yeah. So,
yeah, and then I had a just one more that I kind of struggle with. I don't know if I would really put it on there because here's the thing. I like Laurinaitis. He has some funny moments and everything, but he also has moments where I'm just like, I don't need this. I don't need to see him right now, or, you know, and it's like, why does Raw and SmackDown always have to have a GM or a sheriff or what they used to call them, Michaels and Foley, commissioners, you know, like what does it, let's just see how it goes for about 6 months to a year without that. And I'm pretty sure you could just get away with feuds and storylines and not having to use. It's like they're just aching for a McMahon Austin part two. Like they're just, they're never going to have that again, so it, I don't know. They just need to give up trying.
Yeah, trying to go back to those glory days.
Yeah.
Rex is going to take another caller here. Area code 740. Your name and where you're from and what do you have?
Yeah.
740 area code, are you there? Okay. Looks like, okay, well, looks like he's not there, or she's not there. Okay. All right, well, let's, thanks so much for calling. Looks like there's a bad echo here. So we apologize for that once again for that. We will do one more station identification. Yeah.
I want to say my flavor of the week next week. And listeners, too, I would love for people to call in on this one because it's a good one. If you, if we had to compete with WWE right now and we could absorb the TNA Ring of Honor roster, who would be your top five from those two rosters to compete with WWE? So, callers, get your, for next week, get your list ready and let us know. That would be awesome, so. Because
yeah.
I know my number one overall pick right now, and I'll save that one. But if you're an avid listener of the show, then you should know.
Yeah. Thanks so much for listening. Well, we will see you next week. We will hear from you. You will hear from us next week. Thank you so much for listening. And, thank you so much for supporting at Crave Wrestling. Facebook, Crave Wrestling, and thank you so much for all of your support, and we will hear from you next week. Thank you so much.